Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
That's the demonstration. He just says, come to me. Just come to me. Don't stand off. Don't be a spectator. Come to me. You have access. You have access. You have every right and every privilege to come to the throne of grace right now and to receive mercy and to find grace to help you in time of need. What he wants. He wants his sons and his daughters to realize you have unconditional access to the King of the universe. The one who created everything.
Right now, my spirit, I feel like there's someone here who feels very, I don't know how to, what word to use, maybe antagonistic against the Lord. Your heart is kind of hardened toward him. You're not willing to do what he, what you feel in your whole, in your spirit that God is telling you to do. And I'm telling you, today is the day to stop that. And I don't mean it to be mean, but today is the day to stop that. If you belong to Jesus, today's the day. You stop that hard heart. You don't let it get harder. Instead, you say, Holy Spirit of God, take care of this. Take care of this inside of me. Show me what it is that's making my heart hard. Okay. Okay. This young lady has come up and said, it's her. But I believe there's more. I believe there's more. So, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Press in. Press in to God. Just press in when you're in those hard places, when you have troubles going on, when you've cried out to God and he hasn't responded in the way that you expected. Press into him. Don't draw away from him, but press in. Press in. Pray through. And pray through. And pray through until there's a breakthrough. There's a breakthrough. That's my grandson. He's just. Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. I want to go right on into the word because this is the word. The word is access. Romans chapter 5, access. 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 maybe I'm going too soon. If anyone feels like you just need to respond to that word that Pam spoke, there's some hardness in your heart, and you know it, and you don't want it to be there anymore. All God wants you to do, Jesus said, come to me. Just come to me. How is that going to change anything, Jesus? Just come to me. Just come to me. If you feel like you need to respond to that in any way right now, we don't want to rush. You don't have to come to me personally. You can come to the altar if you like to. If you want to come to me, that's fine. If you want to come to Pam, that's fine. Oh, God, he takes care of it right away. Just right away. You have access to him. That's amazing to me. You mean I have access to the everlasting God? Me? Lord, I know me. I know my behavior is not always holy and righteous. Oh, God, me? This past week, we've had our wonderful time with our grandchildren. My son-in-law was up on the platform, Ken, and singing, and we had our grandchildren with us this week. And what a wonderful time! We have one of them sick. They've got this bug that's going around, you know. And they were planning on singing a song here this morning, but had to cancel that because of the sickness. But we have an 1,800 square foot house, so it gives you. But it's not a big house, but it's big enough for us, and we're thankful for it. But when you add 7 children and 2 more adults to it, you cannot walk through the house at night with the lights off. That's dangerous, because there's a toy. There's a pillow. There may be a body sleeping on the floor, and you really got to really be careful. There's just not a lot of space, but there's a lot of love. And this past week, one of my little grandchildren was, they were throwing something, a ball or something, in the house. Not supposed to do that. They know Nana and Papa's rules. You don't throw things in the house. You go outside to play. Well, they were throwing something in the house. And I saw it because I was washing the dishes, and I could see through this little area. I could see what happened was they hit something, and it broke a little head off of a little angel ornament or some kind that Pam had. I saw it when it happened. So I waited for a minute, you know, and then I walked around there, and I said, oh, what happened here? Anybody know? What happened? The little angel's head's broken. Anybody know what happened? And the guilty one was like this. And I said, come here. I said, did you do that? Honey, Papa loves you. And I'm never going to stop loving you. Nana's never going to stop loving you. Was this an accident? Were you throwing the ball? And did that happen because you were throwing the ball, which you weren't supposed to do in the house? I said, okay, here's what you do. When an accident happens, you didn't mean to do it. You just did something you weren't supposed to be doing, but you didn't mean to do it. Always come and tell Nana and Papa. Don't hide. We love you. We're always going to love you. Don't hide. Just come tell us. I did something I wasn't supposed to do. I broke something because I didn't obey the rules. Just come tell us. We'll always love you. What are we teaching them? This is what God says about you. I know you've done some wrong things. I saw it when it happened. But did that make me stop loving you? No. I said, come to me. Tell me about it. Get it off of your conscience. I don't want you walking around feeling guilty and ashamed and condemned, because that affects your relationship with me. I want you just to be honest, transparent, and real. I don't love you any less. So we're teaching them unconditional love. That's the way the Father loves us. Key word today is the word access. And because we have access to God by virtue of that cross and the blood of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the only Savior of the whole world. By the way, the only religion in all the world that has a Savior is Christianity. That should say a lot right there. And so Jesus is the Savior. He took our guilt, our shame, our condemnation, our sin on the cross in order that we can have access to God. Without the cross, we wouldn't have access. No, we wouldn't have access. There had to be someone willing to pay for all the wrongs and all the sin in the world. It couldn't just be anybody. It couldn't be an angel. It just couldn't be anybody who volunteered. It had to be someone without sin. And that one is Jesus, the Son of God, who's also God the Son, became flesh, and he laid down his life so that we could have access to God. So we have this access to God. How do we use it? How do we implement it in our life? One way, and only one way. This access to God comes to us by grace. What is grace? It's a word we throw around a lot in church, but what is grace? Grace, we've heard it said, it's unmerited favor. That's true. It's G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's true. But let's just break it down to help us understand. What is grace to you? It is when God does something for you or gives you an ability that you could not do on your own. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't pay for your sin. And so grace is just the ability of God to do something for you that you couldn't do yourself. And so we get saved by grace, saved from sin. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, by grace are we saved. But we access this grace that God freely gives us by faith. That's the only way. You can't earn it. If you can earn grace, it's no longer grace. You can't earn it. You can't be religious enough. You can't get baptized enough. You can't preach enough sermons. You can't earn grace. Now, what I'm going to talk to you about right now is that there are a lot of you who are really struggling with this unconditional love of God. It's almost too hard to believe. And because you struggle with that, you and God have distance between you. And God is not the one who moved away. You have. Because you, like a little child, when it's done wrong, you're thinking in your mind that now God's angry with me. God doesn't love me as much as he used to love me when I was doing really well. No, you don't understand grace. You need to understand grace. And this grace of God that God gives us is Him doing something for us that we could not do ourselves. Now, when we access this grace by faith, now what is faith? Faith is just simply confidence or trust in God, if you break it down. Okay, you're all exercising faith in the chair that you're sitting in right now, that you're trusting it's going to hold you up. Okay. But when you access faith in God, you believe, you put your faith where God placed your sins, on the cross. He placed the sins of the world on the cross. The whole world. Before you were even born, He put our sins, past, present, and future, on the cross, so that when the Lamb of God, Jesus, hung on the cross and He said His final words, "Tetelestai, it is finished, it is paid in full, it was paid in full," God accomplished for you on that day what you could never accomplish on your own, what the world could never accomplish on your own. You could never live holy enough, righteous enough, or do enough righteous things to ever earn that. That's called grace. When you see the cross, you go, "That's grace. That is grace. Jesus died for me to give me something I could not get on my own." Now, this grace gives me access to God. But it's by faith alone, by trust in God, what He says. We don't see God. We don't necessarily feel God. We don't hear the audible voice of God. Very rarely does that happen. But He's here. And we come to Him by faith in His Word, and we trust it according to faith in His Word. So this word, what happens is in Romans 5:1, it says that as a result of this, therefore, we are justified by faith. Now we have peace with God. There's peace between us. Before there was hostility. Before there was just something between God and I. But there's no longer anything between God and I. There's peace between us. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say amen. Hallelujah to that. Hallelujah. And because of this great peace with God and this access that we have through Christ our Lord, we come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, let me ask you a question. When I told my little grandson who broke the little angel head and I said, "Honey, we always will love you. Just come and be honest. Just be truthful." As the moment I said that, it was forgiven. He raised his head up. Just as if he'd never done anything wrong. And that's what happens with you and I. When we access the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, now our head comes back up. We can look at the Father in the face. We can look and know that we have peace with God. We can know that every sin has been covered and paid for. In fact, Jesus was an overpayment for every sin that could ever be committed. He died for the sins of the whole world, but not everybody's accessing this grace. Not everybody's saved, even though Jesus paid for the sin of the whole world. They could be, but they haven't accessed this grace. God wants you to access this grace, not only just for salvation, but for the other areas of your life that you need this grace operating in your life as well. Let me ask you a question now. When did my wife and I start loving our grandchild who broke the angel head? When did we start loving them unconditionally? Before they were born, sure, that's right, absolutely. Before they were even born, we loved them. And so we loved them before they did anything wrong. You know where I'm going. Okay. When did God start loving you? When you decided to turn over a new leaf, when you decided to stop some of the things you knew were not, did He start loving you then? No. Verse 8 in chapter 5 makes it very clear. He loved you while you were still yet a blaspheming, cursing, rebellious, didn't want anything to do with God. He loved you then. Does that let you know something about the grace of God? Wow. And so we have this incredible grace of God, this incredible love of God, that he began loving us even before we knew anything about him. And so as a result of that, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have access to God. Now, we hear people say a lot of times, we're praying for God to move in the church, or boy, it was a great move of God today in the church. That's not accurate. God has already moved. See, it's not his move anymore. It's your move. God moved to save the whole world by placing his only son upon the cross. And when he moved, he finished all his work in the cross. Everything was complete. God moved. Now it's your move. You have access to God. You have access to grace, but it's your move. And you move by faith. And anybody who wants to, as who has faith, can move and access this incredible grace. And when you do, the moment you are born from above by the Spirit of God, in God's eyes, it's just as if it never happened. He doesn't remember your sin. He's removed them. He's covered them with the blood of Jesus. For God to remember your sin and bring it up to you again would be to say that the blood of Jesus was not enough. So why are you bringing them up? Why do you live in condemnation? Why do you listen to the devil try to talk you out of the salvation that Jesus purchased you for? Why do you go back and listen to him? He's a liar. Why would you believe anything he has to say? And so we are in this position with God in a permanent place. Just if it never happened, just if I'd never sinned, I'm justified with God. And because I'm justified with God, I have peace with God that is permanent. It's permanent. It doesn't change. Well, preacher, what about if I sin again? Well, you are going to sin again. If you're human, you're going to sin again. What about if I sin after I get saved? If justification was dependent upon your behavior or your performance, then there'll be some days you'd have peace with God, and there'd be a lot of other days you didn't have peace with God. That's not the way God intends for you to live. That's the way the devil would like you to live. But when you understand this incredible grace of God, it's just as if it never happened. You are sinless in your spirit before God. Sinless in your spirit before the Lord. Now, as a result of this, we go on and see, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have obtained access by faith. Can you put that on the screen for me, please? Romans 1 through 2. We have access by faith into this grace in which we, come on, we stand. And we rejoice in the hope or the confident expectation in the future that God's glory will be manifested. Now, I want to break this down for you today. This is really all I want to talk to you about. Preacher, all right, I understand. God loves me. You made that clear to me, and I'll believe that he loves me. But if God loves me, then why do I have all this trouble in my life? I mean, if he loves me, why isn't he helping me with my problems? Can I get an amen or an oh me from anybody who's ever been there before? The moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is the very same moment you receive an enemy. And you have a target on your head, an invisible enemy. He's your adversary. He's God's adversary. He hates everything that has anything to do with God. He hates anything that belongs to God. He hates anybody that even talks about God. And this adversary hates Jesus Christ. And he is the one who now is behind the scenes in an invisible stealth way, doing everything he possibly can to get you to get out of this stand of grace that you're in. I'm standing in grace, God's unconditional love. I'm standing in this. And he's trying to knock you off of that any way that it possibly can. Anything to keep you from calling upon the name of the Lord. Because every time you call upon the name of the Lord hears. And the Lord, he gives mercy at his throne, and he also helps you find grace, the ability of God to help you in your time of need. Well, then how come I'm not getting the help that I need? No, you may not understand. The scripture says, into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, this means that there may be a time that you're going to have to stand in hope before you see anything or feel any change. Hope, faith, patience are a three-chord strand that go together in order to help you to be able to stand in grace. You need hope, which is confident expectation God will do what he's promised. Then you need faith. Faith is the substance that brings the hope to pass in your life. Hope is the blueprint. Faith is the thing that goes to work to make it happen. And patience is what you need, is that quiet confidence that doesn't get anxious and doesn't get worried that God's not going to fulfill what he said he's going to do. Patience is the quiet confidence that says, well, between the delay of when the promise was given until it's received, I'm okay. Because God is faithful. Faith, hope, and patience. Hope comes first. Hope is like the thermostat on your air conditioning on the wall at home. You want to set the desired temperature to 72 degrees, so you push hope to 72 degrees. The moment you push hope to 72 degrees, faith kicks in. The compressor on the outside starts to working. And it's making it happen. It doesn't go to 72 degrees right away, but it's going to get there. And so between the time of the faith going to 72 degrees and the compressor is working, now faith, our patience, is just willing to wait until it happens. Confident it's going to happen. It may take a little bit, but it's okay. Hope, faith, patience. You have to have these three to stand in grace. You can't stand in grace without hope, faith, patience. Got to have that. And if you got that, you're going to make it. I don't care what the doctor tells you. I don't care what the banker tells you. I don't care what the government tells you. I don't care what's happening in the world. I don't care if a nuclear bomb goes off. Doesn't matter. If you have hope, faith, and patience in God, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. How? I don't know. It just is how God works. God's going to get glory out of all of this. Yes, we go through trouble. Yes, we go through things that we don't understand. But it's into this grace which we stand. Are you standing in the grace of God? The ability that only God can do this. See, that really ought to be the end testimony of our life. It ought to be that people look at us and say, there's no way you could have done what you did except the grace of God. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It wasn't my intelligence. It wasn't my degree. It wasn't my charisma. It wasn't my personality. It was the grace of God. And that's really what God is expecting is to be on display to the world, is that his grace is going to be on display through your life. People look at you and say, how did you do that? How did you endure that? How did you go? The grace of God. You're seeing the grace of God. So it's in this grace we stand and notice and rejoice. We rejoice in the hope, that's the thermostat of the glory of God. We're going to set the thermostat on that God's going to be glorified through this. I'm pushing the thermostat over. Now, faith's going to have to kick in but I'm pushing the thermostat over to that God is going to be glorified in this trouble that I'm experiencing. And if long as I have hope and I have faith and I have patience, it will come about. It will come about. It may take 25 years like Abraham, but it'll come about. And you can decide if, you know, you're going to have to endure this thing however long God decides anyway. It's not really up to us. It's just up to God's got a time limit on how long a trial is going to be or how long is something's going to go on in your life. And you can either go through it glorifying God and getting stronger, or you can go through it glorifying the problem and getting weaker. It's your choice. But you have access to grace. So why in the world would you go into the negative? Why would in the world would you even think about letting the devil get glory? After you speaking negative and complaining and crying and whining, and it didn't speed up a thing, the trial's still there. So the moment you took your stand in grace, the moment you got saved by grace, you realized it wasn't religious performance, it wasn't through any religious work, but it's through the cross alone that you got saved. That moment you took your stand in grace, the devil got really rattled about your life. And he said, I got to do something about this. Come on, boys, we got to do something. We got to do something to rattle this person out of faith. We got to do something to get this person out of this stand of grace. Because as long as they're standing in grace, everything that we've got in our arsenal that we throw at them, every fiery dart, every attack of the enemy, if they're standing in grace, we can't get to them. We got to get them out of grace. We got to get them out of grace. And so that's it. That's his target. That's his focus. And once the devil realizes that you have gone past the place of ever being deceived again about your right standing with God is not based on your performance. And that's for some of us, it seems to take a long time to get there. But once the devil realizes you finally are at that point where it's no longer, you know that your right standing with God is not based on you being, you know, prayed enough, read the Bible enough, been good enough, didn't sin that much, whatever. Once that part, you're past that part, boy, he has really got some trouble. He's got to bring out some big missiles. Because all he can do now, once he can't rattle you out of grace and your standing of salvation, to make you think that, well, you lost your salvation. Once he can't get you there, all he's got left is that he's got to cause you enough trouble, usually one thing after another, enough trouble to try to wear you out so that he'll get you in the mode of anxiety. So you're going to run around here. I got to fix this and I got to fix that and I got to fix this. It's all up to me. If it's going to be, it's all up to me. And I'm going to, and then you finally just, whew, man, I'm just flat worn out. I'm just tired, God. And that's when the devil can get you, because his only tactic is to wear out the saints. If he can keep you from praying, if he can keep you from faith, if he can keep you from hope, if he can keep you from patience, then he can keep you from praising God. You won't praise God when you're worn out. You're not thankful when you're plumb worn out. And so that's his tactic. He didn't like me telling you this. He don't want you to know that. And so... so here we are in this place that's all the devil's got left now. Since he can't move you out of grace, he's just going to try to wear you out. Well, you can stop that from happening. See, it's into this grace which we stand, and while we're in this grace, there's one thing we got to do, and it's hidden in this verse. We hope. We turn the thermostat to the glory of God. God's going to get glory out of this trouble that the devil's causing me. Yeah, I know it's the devil. I know what he's doing. I know he's attacking my family. He's attacking this. He's trying to attack my health. He's attacking my finances. He got this and that going on. I know it's the devil. It's just the devil, though. That's what you need to get used to saying. It's just the devil. He's not as big as you have thought he was. He's not that big a deal. It's just the devil. So I'm just going to set the thermostat over to the glory of God. Now, what does that look like? I mean, what does that really look like? For what is the glory of God? It's another one of them big ambiguous terms like grace. What is grace? Now you know grace is the ability of God to do something you can't do yourself. What is the glory of God? Well, let's break it down. What's the glory of your automobile that you drove to church here today? That it worked? You turned the key or pushed a button and boom, it came on and it did what you wanted it to. That's the glory of the automobile. That was the praise. It did what it was supposed to do. The automobile was supposed to take you where you want to go, when you want to go, anytime, 24/7. And that's the glory of an automobile. What's the glory of a bird? A bird. Well, he can fly. And he can sing and make music in the air and all those kinds. What's the glory of a child of God? The glory of a child of God is that the child of God's got his focus on God. And he is in awe and praise and thanksgiving to God because every good and perfect gift comes from him. And he realizes that no matter what he goes through in this life, that surely goodness and mercy is following him all the days of his life, no matter where he goes and what he does. Yes, he has troubles and yes, he has difficulties, but you know what? He's got goodness and mercy on him. And the glory of a child of God is that the child's focus is on the Father. The Father loves me. He's accepted me. I have access to the throne of grace. I can go to the throne of grace anytime I want to, 24/7, and I can receive mercy and I can find grace to help me through this trial. A child of God knows that. And a child of God that knows that and is confident in that is trouble for the enemy. Even in the midst of trouble, even when because we do get attacks from the enemy, we do have bad things happen to us in this world, but we're convinced that God is on the throne of our life. It's our time to shine while we're here on this earth in the midst of our troubles. And it's just possible because God is God Almighty, with whom nothing is too difficult, nothing's too impossible. It's just quite possible that the God who sits on the throne of the universe and the devil was just a fallen angel, by the way, and he's down here causing you trouble. The God who sees all and can do all and knows all and is everywhere present could stop him any moment he chose to. But he has decided not to in this particular case, and you have trouble. Well, God, why won't you make him stop it? It's like a little toddler. Mama, she's touching me. She's touching me. Make her stop touching me. Well, God says, no. You can handle this. You can handle it. He's just a fallen angel, see. And you can handle this. I see it going on. I know he's touching you. I know he's messing with you. You know he's messing with you. But I've decided I'm not going to necessarily stop him from doing it because I want you to take care of it. I want you to see you can handle him. And so this is where we are while we're here on this earth, is that we realize that we have troubles and we have difficulties from our adversary. And sometimes, I like what Bill Johnson said. He said, some unanswered prayers are only because God doesn't want to do something for us. Instead, he wants to do something through us. Now, that makes a lot of sense. He wants to do something through us. See, when King David, who was the psalmist who wrote many of the psalms that were songs that were to be sung in worship to God, King David, before he received the throne, he had many adversaries. And one of them was the king, King Saul. And he had many adversaries. And there was a time that he wrote a psalm while he was in great distress. His adversaries were after him. They wanted even to kill him. And David was a lover of God. And God gave him an unusual strategy that really applies not only in the old covenant, but it applies in the new covenant. And the Apostle Paul wrote about it. And David said, this is the strategy that God has given me to deal with my adversaries. And he wasn't just talking about King Saul and people in the flesh. He was talking about his adversaries in the spirit realm that were attacking him and tormenting him. And here was the strategy. Psalm 69:30, David said, I will magnify the Lord. Come on. Oh, that's a war strategy? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is. Magnify. When we magnify our problems, we make them look bigger than they really are by talking about them all the time. Listen to yourself in the last 24 hours. We magnify problems or we magnify our pains because we just keep talking about them, keep talking about them, keep. Don't talk about them. Instead, turn it around if it's the enemy causing you trouble and begin to give thanks for God for it, because that really rattles the devil when you can thank God for things that the devil's causing you trouble with. And you begin to magnify God. So the more you talk about the goodness and the greatness of God, you don't make God bigger, because God can't get any bigger than what he is, but you magnify the situation that God is in charge of my life, not the devil. And you talk about the greatness of God. So listen to yourself the past 24 hours. And you gotta come to an understanding. You and I have to realize that the troubles we face here in this life, they're just temporary. Most of it's just the devil. That's all it is. And every setup from the devil in your life is really a step up for the Christian. It's an opportunity for you to learn how to give God thanks in everything, how to praise God in everything. And we should be going up rather than going down in our maturity. We have to access this grace that God has available to us. And so we, he says in Romans 5, verse 3, he says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us develop patience. And God knows you got hope. You've been given faith, but what you need right now is patience. Because between the time you set the thermostat on 72 until the room temperature finally changes to 72, if you don't have patience, you'll quit. You just got to have patience. And God is developing our patience. Patience with him. And it strengthens our hope. And it says, we know how dearly God loves us. That's how we began this message today. And that's the question. Do you really know how dearly God loves you? I want to wrap this up quickly. I want to say one thing to you in regards to what's going on in our world right now. This goes along with this. In our world, in the last few weeks, we've had terrorist attacks. We've had a lot of, just horrible things. Week after week. And there are times where it rattles you and you think, wow, it's a dangerous world. This is a dangerous world. I'm not excited about my grandchildren living in this dangerous world. It is a dangerous time. But we got to think that God, of all times he could have had us born in history, he had us born for such a time as this. Here we are in the midst of what most would say was probably the darkest time of the earth so far. Prophet Isaiah had something to say about that. He said, "For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." And what I see happening right now, because of this darkness and trouble and satanic attack and all this stuff that's going on by the enemy, is I see a division. A division. And actually, it's God who's behind the division. He is. He's behind the division. There's a division that's forming as the world gets darker and darker, as that's what seems to be happening. God is actually behind all of this, according to His plan. He's allowing the darkness to come. Not saying He's causing it all. He's allowing it. He could stop it, but He chose not to. He's using it. He's allowing the great darkness to come, because this is what He said in the next verse of Isaiah. He says, "But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory," hallelujah, "will appear upon you, and nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." So as the world gets darker and darker, and it will get worse, we're going to see a greater separation, even within the church. It's happening now. You're either going to bear God's light, which is His glory. People are going to see Christ in you as you go through tribulation, as you go through difficulties, as you go through satanic attacks. They're going to see the light of God in you. They're going to see the faith of God rise in you. Or you're either going to blend in with the darkness. And so it's not like you got a lot of options anymore. It's either you're going to be over here in the light, and you're going to bear God's light, and you're going to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God when you go through trials, or you're going to blend over here with the darkness. And so this is what's happening. And I believe we're living in the last days. The very last, one more scripture and I'm done, I promise. We're living in the last days. I really believe that. In the very last book of the Bible, there's a very serious warning to people who want to ride the fence. This is a warning about the changes that must take place in your life. You can't be neutral about Christ. You can't be neutral about Him reigning in your life. You've got to get off the fence. Salvation is always progressive. In other words, it's never static. You never stay the same. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. That's the way it is. We go from faith to faith, to glory to glory. You see, and if we're not moving in the way of righteousness, then the light's not getting brighter in you. It's getting darker. You can't stay neutral. Proverbs describes it this way. It says, "The path of the righteous is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter until a more perfect day." In other words, it gets brighter and brighter the more we walk with the Lord. Every day with Jesus, His brightness, His glory comes upon us in a greater way. Even through the trials, through the troubles, through the attacks of the enemy. And here's the scripture. I want you to see this, Revelation 22, verse 10. "And He said to me, 'Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near.'" This is written to John. "Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. Let the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I'm coming quickly." Do you understand what He's saying? He's saying that to the folks that, you know, they've just been playing with Christianity, playing with God, put one foot in, then they take one foot out. Hokey pokey Christians, you know. They run hot and cold. He's saying there's coming a time where you won't be able to do that anymore. No. If you're going to stay in the filth of the world, if you're going to continue to play around with pornography, and you're still getting your pleasure from that, and if that's how you're coping with your situation or your drugs or your alcohol, that's how you're coping, and you know that I've called you out of that. If that's what you're going to continue to do, then you just go ahead and live it up, buddy, because time is running out. Go ahead. You got to get off the fence. You got to get serious. He said, this is the way it is. Now, if you're going to bear God's light, you're going to bear God's light. And you're going to become brighter and brighter and brighter as the world gets darker and darker. And nations are going to come to your light and ask you, how are you able to do this? And you're going to be able to tell them about the gospel of grace of Jesus Christ. Behold, I'm coming quickly. That right there ought to just polarize us to either. I'm either in or I'm out. I'm all in. I'm all in until the very end. Would you stand together, and altar workers, would you come up and be with me and be here at the front ready for people? It's time for us to realize, folks, we all have troubles. We're all going to have trouble as long as we're here in this life. And most of it's just the devil. If you're a born-again believer, it's just the devil. Don't give him too much of your attention and focus. Glorify God in the midst of it. Thank God. Magnify God during that. Open your mouth up. Instead of complaining, begin to praise the Lord. Just give the devil a headache with that, you see. And you become where you're one of those people where you start getting brighter and brighter as the days go darker and darker. You have access. You have access. Access to God's throne. Access to grace. Access to Him. Wow. Nothing's too difficult for the Lord. Nothing. Would you bow your heads? Father, thank you for today reminding us we have access to you. Wow. Access. Access to the Father. We don't have to hang our heads. We don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to live in condemnation. You know what we've been struggling with. You know how we've failed in ourselves. All you ask us to do is to come. Come, child. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Pour out your heart. Get a new perspective. Get hope, faith, and patience working again in your life. And you will never be defeated. Never, ever, ever. Because I have got grace to meet your every need and mercy to cover your every sin. Thank you. You have access to the unconditional love of God. If somebody here today needed to hear this in regards to receiving Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, Lord means He's the boss. His word is the final word. There has to be a time in your life where you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.